Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started. Apologize for being a few minutes late here. We'll first have the roll call. Ms. Ellison.
Chair Smedberg.
Here.
Acting Vice Chair Bulger. Vice Chair Goldman. Alternate Director Rouse for Director Horner.
Here.
Director Dorsey.
Here.
Alternate Director Marudian for Director Price.
Here.
Alternate Director Graham for Director Ron.
Here.
Director McMillan. Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Ellison. Now we'll have approval of the minutes of the January 27, 2019 board meeting, the July 11, 2019 special board meeting, the June 27, 2019 executive session, and the July 11, 2019 executive session. Is there a motion for approval? Motion by Mr. Dorsey. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Goldman. Any comments or questions on either of those sets of minutes? If not, all those in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the minutes are approved. Next, I'll turn it over to Mr. Wiedefeld for an employee spotlight. Mr. Wiedefeld.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. For this month's employee spotlight, we wanted to use this time to recognize a Metro Transit police officer, Case, who's with us today, whose simple acts of kindness and compassion have generated a significant amount of media attention and public reaction. I'm sure many of you have seen this story on social media or in the news, but for those of you who haven't, let me take about 2 minutes to play a video from Tuesday night's evening news, if I could.
A story from inside a Metro station has gone viral. A Metro police officer going above and beyond for a boy and his mother. The young mom posted this picture after an officer stepped in to help her autistic son. He was having a meltdown. Newsreader Marcy Gray spoke with her about how much this meant to them.
This picture that's gone viral, Metro police officer holding hands with a boy. But it's a story about that interesting script for social media. Taylor took to Facebook in an effort to thank that police officer after some man was autistic and had a meltdown while riding on that Friday afternoon during rush hour.
Then it was cute. I thought regular talk was in time, and then it was very distressed at the point, and then we're getting really upset. I went back and forth, and one more on the floor of the frame, and then it was just screaming and yelling, and just everything.
The episode got so bad. No one got off the train. Andrew was still
back. I brought my cat just over here. Pulling my hair and kicking me, and it breaks my heart.
That's when Officer Dominic Cates showed up and offered to help the man.
And Andrew's so beautiful to the man, and just was strong and walked.
Officer Cates not only helped to calm him down, Casey, Washington Post, he has a brilliant son of his own. And when the young boy reached for his hand, he thought it was the right thing to do. For Andrew, it's a ride he'll always remember. For Andrew's mom, Officer Case is someone she forget.
I've tried to thank him so many different ways. It's just not enough. It is so heartwarming. It's the only way I can talk to
Andrew, not only his friend, he got the souvenir. Officer Case gave him.
And how cute is that? On Thursday, after meeting the Metro Board of Directors, plan to honor Officer Case. A story from inside.
If I could, this positive reaction to the story has come from across the country as well. For example, a gentleman named Charles from Bloomington, Minnesota wrote, and I quote, "As the parent of a child with autism, I cannot tell you how much this action meant to not only the parent involved, but to the autism community as a whole. Negative contact with law enforcement is one of the biggest fears of a parent in this situation. Officer Case did just the right thing to defuse the situation, and his professionalism and follow through deserves commendation." We certainly agree. And before we invite Officer Case up for his award, I would like to welcome Ms. Taylor Pomilla and Andrew, who are here with us today to help recognize Officer Case. Mrs. Pomilla, would you like to say a few words?
Thank you.
So yes, so this has been just extremely overwhelming. But I will tell you, I was trying to think last night. They told me I was going to be able to say a few words, and I tried to think last night, what other words could I try to say? I'm doing good, thanks. I tried to think of what words I could say to continue to thank Officer Case for this, but I can tell you that on behalf of a mother with a child with autism and every person out there, whether they're a caregiver or they're a parent that have a child with autism, that this, we all say thank you so much to Officer Case. And I know that I've said this a million times in all these interviews that what I love so much is whether you have, someone that's a police officer or you have some connection with autism, no matter what, everyone's finding some chord that this story hits with them. And I think it is just such a great example of that there is just so much good in the world. And I really hope that people take after Officer Case, because I just looking back on that moment, and I don't know on it, and I look back and I don't know what I would have done. Like, it was, I just moving here and kind of being by myself, it really just did mean a lot, because the stairs are sometimes hard. They're hard for Andrew, and just the fact that someone did that, it really just meant everything in the world to me. And I truly believe that this will be, what? Okay, baby, hold on. Here you go. Sorry. I cannot say thank you enough to him. And I just really hope that this sets a precedent for future police officers and people that might see this kind of thing happening and want to help as well. So thank you so, so much. Very, very deserving of this honor, because not a lot of people would have stopped for me. And how lucky am I to have that in D.C.? So thank you guys so much for honoring him. And for Andrew, he's very much enjoyed all of this for him. Oh, and we're getting pictures. Thank you so much.
Thank you. If I could, just a note. We have many incredible employees who do help our customers every day in big and small ways. So it was so nice of you to recognize Officer Case. Officer Case, please come forward to receive your award. And as you can see, we gave Andrew quite a few gifts to remind him of his experience. And he's now a honorary police officer, and hopefully a future customer for us for years and years to go.
Quick. It's been very exciting to use this.
Bedroom.
Say thank you. Say thank you.
Bedroom.
Say it.
Bedroom.
If you say Officer Case.
Officer.
Case. Yay! Good job, Andrew!
Next we'll go, I'm sorry about that. Next we'll go to public comment. First we have Mr. Brian Wiesel. Yes.
My name is Mike Michael, organizer of the proudly represented for 8,000. On July 11th, we distributed 8,000 flyers in the district. We were protesting the inhumane conditions that trans men operate in the city of the club. That is very important to my. We were drawing attention to the fact that riders can inform any time they get on the bus that they can call the server number for customer service, as this is number one. Finally, it is impossible for the bus to not call the official client, except the person either failed to be operated by failing to establish a guarantee that they can perfectly enter the contract, or you have that.
Thank you, Mr. Wiesel. Next, Ms. Linda Mercer. Welcome, Ms. Mercer. Seconds if you could wrap up. Yeah. Mercer, summarize. Thank you. Okay, next we have Mr. Bill Orleans. Welcome, Mr. Orleans. Could you speak up a little?
Even more, that it represent that transparency expressed by board members by releasing that law firm's report that had been obtained by the Washington Post that I'm told published on its website. That's not accessible to me, and I presume others. In the interest of transparency, WMATA could release and put it on its website where I would be able to request a hard copy. But my primary reason for speaking today concerns the bus transformation project study. Since September, the study team has met several times, different elements of the study team, and all of those meetings have been closed to the chief stakeholder of WMATA and all the regional providers, and that is the bus rider, him and herself. I've expressed objections to that thus far and requested from a variety of people that the future work of the various study teams be opened up to participation from the general public, and I'm told as of this morning that that's not likely to happen. I'm requesting of the board that it direct WMATA's management team to direct the consultants to open up those other study teams to the general public. Lastly, I'm convinced, I've been advised otherwise, but I'm convinced that if any of the recommendations that exist in draft form, some of which were discussed this morning in committee, are ever to be implemented, it would be effectively changing the compact, and WMATA would be of necessity have to conduct a public hearing, and each of the jurisdictions, if they attempted to implement the changes that are contained thus far in the draft recommendations, would have to do so. And I'd like some clarification of that fact. Senior management people here advise me that I'm wrong. I don't think that I am wrong. I would like any work that goes forward concerning this proposed bus transformation project to go forward with the understanding that the WMATA board at some point is going to have to make changes and that it will indeed require a compact public hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Orleans. Mr. Michael Bell.
Good morning. I'm here again asking for my workman compensation files and pay. Today I ran across these papers from upstairs from Carol Murray Fleming telling me that I had a hearing outside of Metro, and that's what happened. But won't nobody give me my files, my pay, nothing. I applied for retirement, and they will not give me that either. I got a letter here from upstairs from HR telling me I have 18 years and some months. But when I apply for retirement, they tell me you only have 11 years and I'm going to give you $22 a month. I have everything on paper in black and white, but nobody does anything. I haven't received no files, no money, no retirement, nothing. I had two attempts made on my life. I told that on the 25th, the last time I was here. I brought the medicine, the doctor's papers, all the prescriptions, and nothing matches the poison that was sent to my house. I couldn't get a report from my next door neighbor where three bullets went in her window. They had shot outside my window three different times. Each time I called the police. And that night I called the police. But it was 2 days later that I found out that the bullets went in her window. This is her window and this is mine. I'm getting threats when I go up and down the street. Then I heard Jack Evans had resigned and all. But I couldn't make it here last month because I was still having a lot of problems with this medication. So today, again, I'm asking for my workman compensation files and pay, please.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Appreciate it. Next, we have Mr. Michael Sindrum.
Morning, Mr. Chair. Also, the sound of my voice. Michael Syndrome, disabled veteran who has served our country more than most. I hope, Mr. Chair, it's a new day. This is the first time I'm speaking under your watch. Your predecessor was a bully, mean-spirited, and I'm happy to see Jack S. Evans go with the quickness. He needs to be in silver plates and a carrot suit soon and very soon. You see, like Scripture says, Moses in Numbers, sin will always find you out, and it will hit you when you least expect it and you're most vulnerable. Being able to speak, we are the lifeblood of Ramada. And it seems like we get de minimis, we get ignored, we get slighted. There used to be a time you could speak only 2 minutes every 3 months. Yeah, you heard me right. And because yours truly made a lot of noise, it's now been changed to 2 minutes each meeting. It should be three, minimally. And I'm happy to see that when folks go over time, you're not beating them up, you're not having that idiot sound interrupt, but yet they're listening. It appears you're listening. And I hope, as the word says again, faith without works is dead. Show me your faith by your works. Or put another way, a tree is known by the fruit which it bears. A bad tree can't bear good fruit, nor a good tree bad fruit. Again, I hope, Mr. Chair, under your watch, it's a new day, and that you truly listen, and not only listen, but not just merely talking the talk, but walk the walk, make things happen. Mr. General Manager, there's a block on my phone. I thought you were a man of your word to get it lifted. The point is, and the scuttle, the pretext is, there's a block because I call too much. Well, I call too much because you play musical chairs with the time of the meeting. Normally, it's been 11 a.m. That's anti-meridian, not p.m., post-meridian. But it's been changed to 10. Nobody tells me. When I call, Stephanie evidently has a bad day. She forgets I'm not her son. You know, you go home and put your slippers on and kick the dog. I'm not the enemy here. I'd like to have a list of when you guys meet, and I'd like to have a time. And if the time changes, to give advance notice, because as you can see, I'm on crutches, writhing in pain. It's a struggle to come down here. All right? Mr. Anasike, where you at? There was an issue. There you are. And we've talked about this. There was $300 to be put on a card of my veteran VFW service outreach officer. Instead of $300 put on his card that was due and owed to me, they hotlisted his card, which means it was made invalid. That means PJ couldn't get out of the parking lot. He was made to purchase another card at one of the vending machines and then come down to Metro Center to get a season card, a senior card, which is the only place you can do. Please, Mr. Anasike, don't let me speak about this again. Do what you're supposed to do. By any other means, it's theft, all right? Last but not least, I want to say, I hear you, Mr. Chair. I want to say it is the veteran. It is the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us freedom of religion. It is the veteran, not the, can't even read, the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It is a veteran, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us the freedom to assemble. It is a veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It is a veteran, not the politician who has given us the right to vote. It is a veteran who salutes the flag, who serves under the flag. God bless America and our troops. And I will conclude, Mr. Chair, the reason why you're the board, we are not ducking grenades, bullets, and mortars, is because we veterans have put our life on the line for due process and fundamental fairness. Once again, I hope it's a new day, and I hope merely you're not listening, but put feet to what's being said here and take some action. We appreciate it. Thank Any you. Questions, I'd be delighted to field them at this time.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Next and last speaker, Mr. Rico Dancy.
Hello, everyone. I want to thank you for the board using VRI. For the board, for the police department. I am hoping that the station manager, that the station managers are trained on how to use VRI appropriately. Not if you just, you know, give it to them and they don't know how to use it, it won't be effective. They need training on how to use it. And I would love to teach them myself how to use it, because I use it every day. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Dancy. Okay, that can, yes, go ahead, Mr. Gould. You have to sign up prior to, beforehand.
Say to Mr. Fuentes.
All right, 1 minute.
This is real quick. What I would ask WMATA to do is sometime in the September-October timeframe to convene some meeting in Northern Virginia, probably George Mason University, to discuss the various issues that we're facing in terms of future of WMATA service, the eight-car trains issue, the privatization of the Silver Line, and various other associated things that related to the Amazon HQ2. And you've started a study of capacity improvements for the Roslyn area. So what I would ask is, will WMATA have some kind of event in Northern Virginia by October, if possible, please?
Thank you. All right. That closes the public hearing. Next, we have the report by the Accessibility Advisory Committee. Mr. Posner.
Good morning. Tough act to follow. Welcome, Mrs. Bedberg. Congratulations on being chair.
Thank you.
I'd like to invite you to come to our September meeting and talk to us about what you'd like AAC to do to help WMATA. We know that Mr. Wiedefeld will come visit us early in the term to move us ahead, as he always does, and that's a great thing. And I'd also like to invite Mr. Goldman as the new head of operations subcommittee, and Mr. Ron isn't here today, but we'll send him a little note inviting everyone to come. We're on the first Monday of the month, except in September, because that's Labor Day. So we're on the first Tuesday in September, and we'd love to have you come meet with us. This month, Ms. Lisa Woodruff and Laura Mason, who are now Rail senior managers, came to meet with us, and we had a wonderful discussion on accessibility and design of the 8000 series cars. Along that line, last Friday there was a wonderful meeting right across the street of the National Academy of Science on accessibility in automatic cars. I'm happy to say that DDOT, Mr. Mnuchin, had representatives there, and we had wonderful presentations on accessibility that we think can be applied rightly to the 8000 series cars, to our buses, and also to the new vans that are being purchased for Metro Access. And we've shared that with the ADAP leadership, and the leadership of the AAC is working with the leadership of RAC to see if we can put together a program. But we think it would be really nice with the new vehicles coming on board that we set the standard for the country. Let's get the best, most accessible vehicles available and let them follow us rather than us following the rest of the country. You've all read in the newspaper about the yellow-blue station platform work and some of the difficulty that has been found by some of the blind community. And I'm happy to report that ADAP has responded magnificently to that. They have inspected all the routes. They've inspected all the stations. They've established an expedited registration project for the blind individuals that are having difficulty for that platform movement. In addition to that, the wayfinding beacon project is incredibly moving ahead. And that's something that, again, you've read about in the papers, has not only an advantage for the blind community, but I can tell you it's an advantage for everybody. Anybody that's ever gotten off the metro at McPherson Square and tried to find a bus, we welcome those beacons in finding how to get there. In addition, there's negotiations going on between ADAP and ARRI, which are the eyeglasses for the blind. And there's a program that's possible to take place, and if it does, it'll be wonderful, where ARRI will be supplying those glasses to Metro Access users. and developing some sort of a payment program so they can move off of Metro Access and get the independence of using bus rail. So those are all real positives that have happened. In the past year, one of the negatives that has happened is Metro Access on-time performance has dropped to 86%. We have been talking about that at the Metro Access subcommittee for a while. Metro Access leadership has finally ridden one of their own vehicles and said, wow, that's a real problem. The change in their programming with Trapeze and their Ranger for going around, we sort of joked, it wasn't funny, that it wasn't a Metro Access ride, it was a sightseeing tour of the district. They had moved to a system using Waze programming. And anyone that's used Waze knows that they will send you 2 miles out of the way to supposedly save 2 minutes on a roadblock. They're now aware of this. They're working on it. And hopefully when we come back to you in September, it'll be fixed. And we'll be moving at a really good schedule. The other thing that's happened on a very positive note is the new fare gates that are being purchased are programmable. We're talking about the access to them. And we're working with ADAP to work a way so that the 9 stations that currently have entrances with no personnel located can be modified from a distance. So someone in a wheelchair, someone with a baby carriage, someone with disability, when the accessible fare gate does not function, can be opened at a distance and not have somebody stranded at those unattended stations. So thank you very much for your time today. Hopefully you'll all enjoy August, and we'll have a lot of more good news for you come September. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Posner. Next, we have a report from the Riders Advisory Council. Mr. Dorsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Riders Advisory Council Chair, Colin Roush, is here, so I would like to yield the floor to him.
Thank you. And
welcome.
Thank you. And congratulations, Chairman Smedberg. I don't think I've had the opportunity to speak in front of you yet. So I'll share a few highlights from the Riders Advisory Council's last month or so of activity. During our July meeting, we heard a presentation on the bus transformation project, an initiative that I know you all have recently been discussing and pondering yourselves. I'll say that in general, the RAC is heartened by the draft plan, albeit as ambitious as it is, I think we all recognize that in order for such a plan to be carried out, it will require perhaps an unprecedented level of intergovernmental coordination. That said, as the board continues to discuss the project and make its own recommendations, the REC does offer a few guiding principles on behalf of riders that we hope you'll take into consideration, those being equitable and affordable service for low-income and currently underserved populations throughout the region, consistency in the data systems that allow for information on rail and bus services so that real-time bus data and alerts can be made available across systems. Service frequency at levels sufficient to allow bus transit to serve as a primary form of transportation, as is the mission of the transformation project itself. Prioritization of family-friendly policies that make bus transit a safe and welcoming option for people of all ages. And ultimately, transparency throughout the planning process and rider representation on any regional task forces or work groups associated with the bus transformation project. We also had the pleasure of hearing from Jim Henry and the bus operations and communications staff, who provided an update on the ongoing Blue and Yellow Line platform reconstruction project, and more specifically, the efforts to provide alternative forms of transportation via WMATA buses and shuttles. In general, I think the RAC is very pleased with how that effort has gone, despite some initial hiccups. We really appreciated Mr. Hamry's transparency and candor in walking us through both the successes and some of the pitfalls that they encountered and how they plan to learn from those experiences. RAC members did raise a few concerns regarding the lack of real-time bus data on the shuttles, as well as some adjustments on some of the WMATA bus routes themselves, especially the 11Y route. But again, on the whole, I think we're pleased, and we hope that this will serve as a model for future mitigation and alternative transit options as WMATA moves towards 2020 reconstruction efforts. That said, we also encourage WMATA to communicate as early as possible, as detailed plans as possible and timelines for future reconstruction projects to the local jurisdictions, riders, and stakeholders who will be affected by them. And finally, we're doing our best to improve our coordination with the accessibility community. So as you all know, Phil and his team are quite prolific in their recommendations. So we are working to coordinate and echo those where possible. So the RAC did vote to support their recommendation of standardizing the escalators going from the mezzanine down to the platforms so that they are as accessible as possible, and specifically that the down escalators are as close to the fare gates as possible when applicable. And that's all I've got. So thank you.
Thank you, Colin. Okay. Next, I'll chair's report here. Good morning, everyone. As part of his report later in the meeting, Mr. Wiedefeld will highlight the work being done beyond the replacement of the platforms this summer as part of the platform improvement project. So I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all the employees who are working both on the construction side of the project and those assisting customers in getting around. These employees who have been working safely through the summer's heat have earned praise from customers, and I personally have heard from numerous folks in Alexandria for their helpfulness in assisting them navigating around the shutdown. The smooth operation of alternative transportation is a clear demonstration of the extraordinary teamwork that has taken place between many agencies, including WMATA, Dash Bus, Fairfax Connector, and the Commonwealth of Virginia and the Alexandria Police Department. Metro and Dash shuttles are transporting around 25,000 riders each day, with over a million shuttle trips taken through July 14th. Ridership has also increased significantly on regular Metro Bus and Dash Bus routes within the shutdown area, especially those with extra service being provided. Customers have also been taking advantage of bike share and the water taxi option to get them where they need to go. I'd also like to thank our customers for their patience and willingness to be flexible during this project. And I'd also especially like to recognize and thank the WMATA employees who are out helping riders this summer. Employees in many different roles have stepped up to provide the best service to impacted customers. Bus operators, bus supervisors, project ambassadors, and other WMATA employees, including volunteers and retirees, who have been helping customers during the shutdown. I look forward to the reopening, and I know not only myself, but several other people look forward to reopening of the 6 closed blue and yellow line stations in early September. And while the shutdown is Metro's biggest ongoing project right now, there are several other projects going on. Staff will be reaching out to our riders and the communities we serve during August and September to seek their input on the proposed bus service changes and the reconstruction of the Bladensburg bus garage. Public input on these projects will help the board in its decision making when these items come back to us later this year. So I would encourage everyone to provide their input on that important project. As is customary, the board does not have any meetings scheduled for August. So after today, our next meeting date is Thursday, September 12th. The board will have a lot on its plate in the fall, including ethics reform to strengthen the existing process and improve transparency, evaluating the comments received from outreach on bus service and the Bladensburg bus garage project, and working with the general manager as he advances his proposed budget, especially in light of the 3% subsidy growth cap that is part of Metro's dedicated funding legislation. I hope everyone enjoys this brief break and the rest of their summer, comes back refreshed and ready to work on behalf of our customers in the region This concludes my report, and now I'll turn over the floor to Mr. Wiedefeld for the general manager's report.
Good morning. Before getting in more detail on the platform, I know that Mr. Chairman and Mr. Goldman were at the APTA conference down in recently, and I wanted to congratulate Michael for being appointed to the APTA's executive committee. So that's very good for us. I'm obviously bringing your perspective into that and also sharing, you know, what you're hearing from around the country. So I appreciate that. Also, in other APTA news, Metro was honored last month at the Rail Conference for the 2019 Gold Rail Security Award for Heavy Rail Systems. Chief Pavlik was there to accept the award, which recognized MTPD's efforts to reduce crime on the system, to provide training and wellness programs for its officers, and the use of technology and social media to improve their policing. So that's a very good award for the police and all the efforts they've been doing. In terms of the platform improvement project, earlier this week we did announce the platform project underway this summer will include more than just replacing concrete under the customer's feet. The project, which just passed its halfway point for this summer, remember we have two more years of platform work, we just want to make sure we keep reminding people of that, and we are already starting that outreach on those ones for next year. But we are doing things like, for example, we are installing a new non-slip tiles, not just on the platforms, but throughout the entire stations. I was just out visiting the stations yesterday, and it's the difference is extremely noticeable how you're going to be able to make sure, particularly in the inclement weather. Improved next train signs, new platform shelters and digital signage and charging stations, better platform speakers and PA system equipment, and energy-efficient LED lights that save energy and money. So a lot of the work right now is around those things that help the customers. And I was very glad to see the work that was done when the Radicom was complete. While we remain on track to resume service on September 9th, I must underline that we will continue to see work out there on these platforms. There'll be both punch list items and other work that's going on, but the service will resume on September 9th. So we just make sure that everyone understands that. But again, the end result, we won't operate the service till it's safe, but the end result is that it will be a safer system. We continue to provide updates to our customers on the construction progress through regular postings on our website and social media, as well as handouts to customers who are taking the shuttles, and we'll continue to do so throughout the summer, and particularly as we start to ramp back up for the opening. One other topic I just wanted to hit upon is related to ridership, and that is on transit-oriented development, some of the things that we found recently. When we look at the period from February to May of 19 versus the same period of 18, we did it from February post the federal government close down. We can see that one of the biggest drivers of ridership continues to be the presence of TOD, Transit-Oriented Development, and it applies across the region. So let me just give you some examples. In Prince George's County, both Suitland and Prince George's Plaza stations have seen ridership growth of about 8%, and more is on the way, as you know, with what we're doing at New Carrollton, what Kaiser Permanente did there, and what we're doing there with our new facility. In the district, Navy Yard and NOMA saw year-over-year ridership growth of about 10% with the continued development of that in that portion of the region. And in McLean Station, ridership has jumped more than 25% due largely to the opening of the Capital One's new headquarters, which obviously made access to public transit a top priority in its development. So in Montgomery County, just so you're aware, I did just meet with the county executive there. And he's particularly focusing on the Rockville Pike Corridor and in Wheaton. So we're continuing to work with him and his team on that. So I just wanted to share my appreciation to the board, everything they're doing to help us support transit-oriented development. You heard it with the bus study earlier, that land use is key to this as well. It's just not what we provide, but land use must work hand-in-hand with us as we try to drive ridership. So that concludes my remarks for today.
Thank you, Mr. Wiedefeld. Are there any questions or comments for the general manager? Mr. Boulder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I noticed on Channel 4 that we sent a train out to Loudoun County. Any comments on how that went on the Silver Line?
Not yet. Okay. We're just starting that process, where we will start to do some of that. It has not been turned over us to do all the formal work that we would do for opening, but we're doing some of the things that we can do to help them prepare, so we're not doing it all at one time. So that's what you saw out there.
Mr. Gold.
I just want to add that not only were Chair Smedberg and I in Jacksonville, but we were joined by Board Secretary Jennifer Ellison, who participated in the parallel meeting of the Transit Administrative Officers program that went along with our transit board members program. So it's a joint effort of everybody, board members and board secretary. Thank you.
Mr. Graham.
Those ridership numbers, again, were at what stations? I thought I heard 8% Suitland, and then you may have mentioned Greenbelt, and then you moved on to some other stations.
Let me just make sure I've got them.
Sure.
Suitland and Prince George's Plaza stations. And as you know, our big focus right now is on New Carrollton and what's happening there.
Okay. Thank you.
And we'll be pulling numbers together on that as well, surely.
There are no more questions. We'll turn next to the report by the Finance and Capital Committee. Mr. Dorsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the July 11th Finance and Capital Committee meeting, a unanimous vote of the committee members attending referred to the board authorization of a public hearing for the Bladensburg Bus Garage Project. This is where staff sought committee approval to hold a public hearing and conduct associated outreach for the Bladensburg Bus Garage Project. The proposed project would change the layout of the site and therefore amend Metro's mass transit plan, which requires a public hearing. With that, Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Okay, there's a motion on the table by Mr. Dorsey. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMillan. Any questions or comments? If there are none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is approved. Thank you. Does that conclude your report, Mr. Chairman?
That concludes my report, Mr.
Chairman. All right. Next, we'll turn to the report by the Safety and Operations Committee, Mr. Goldman.
Thank you. The following items were referred to the board at the Safety and Operations Committee meetings this month. From the July 11th meeting, staff sought committee approval to hold a public hearing and conduct associated outreach and Title VI equity analysis for budget-neutral bus service changes to meet changing needs and conditions. Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
We have a motion on the table by Mr. Goldman. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Bolger. Any comments or questions on this item? If there are none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion's approved. Mr. Goldman.
The second one is from the July 25 committee meeting concluded earlier today. Staff sought committee approval to continue increased peak period service on the Red Line north of Grosvenor Strathmore Station. Ridership at the stations north of Grosvenor has increased with the additional service, and there has been no negative impacts on service performance from the increased service. In addition, because of more regular arrivals at Shady Grove, station circulation there has improved, ending the need for passengers to queue up to exit the station during the evening peak period. Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Motion on the table by Mr. Goldman. Is there a second?
So moved.
Seconded by Mr. Graham. Any comments or questions on this item? All right. If there are none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion is approved. Next, we'll move on. We have three items on the board's consent agenda today, and I would like to move approval of the following. Approval of sale of excess property at Albion Road in College Park, Maryland. Staff requests approval of the sale of WMATA excess property on Albion Road at Baltimore Avenue in College Park, Maryland, to the Maryland National Capital Park and Planning Commission. Second, Fairfax County Student Bus Pass Pilot Extension. Staff requests approval to extend the Fairfax County Free Student Bus Pass Program Pilot for 1 year. And third, the Ground Lease Amendment at Farragut North. Staff requests board approval to execute an amendment to an existing ground lease at Farragut North Metro Station. In accordance with Resolution 2018-22, the board shall approve ground leases that exceed $1 million in annual payments. I move approval of these three items. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Goldman. Any questions or comments on any of these items? Mr. Goldman.
What's the ground lease at Farragut about?
Mr. Weaver.
This was an opportunity basically for us to increase the amount of revenue. They've been performing very well. They've asked for an extension. We've done some development there. So I think if the numbers are in the mead, what the scale was. It was a significant increase for us in terms of revenue.
Okay. If there are no other questions, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, those items are approved. Next, we'll move on to the reports by the regional bodies, the District of Columbia. Mr. Bolger, any kind of report? Okay. WSTC, Mr. Goldman.
Two items to report on. I want to thank the general manager, Mr. Lederer, all members of the staff at WMATA and Montgomery County Department of Transportation that worked to make sure that we got to the point we are today, a reaffirmation of the action that the board took last year in ending the groove and the turnbacks. It's been a tremendous success, and I want to thank all those involved in that and brought us to that place where we are today that will make this a permanent addition to Red Line service benefiting everybody in Montgomery County and throughout the system. Second, if I were Governor Hogan here today, I would wish you all a very happy summer, the rest of your summer through the end of August through Labor Day, and I would encourage you to visit to Ocean City, Maryland, and spend your money there and your vacation days there as often as possible. Thank you, and have a great summer.
Thank you, Mr. Goldman. Yeah.
Absolutely, plenty of buses.
Actually, there's a bus that goes out there.
Yes.
All right, NVTC, we have no report. In the federal government, Mr. McMillan, Mr. Press. Yeah, I heard they're a nice place to visit. Yeah. All right.
Watch out for the bears.
All right, before we adjourn here, I have a request for executive session. In accordance with the bylaws, I, Paul Smedberg, request that the Board of Directors convene an executive session to discuss the following matters pursuant to Article 2, Paragraph 9, Subsections A, budgetary matters that may affect legal positions, WMATA contracts, or sensitive relationships with local jurisdictions or the federal government, and B, litigation, investigations, and other legal matters requiring the provision of legal advice or consultation with counsel and staff members, and C, personnel or labor issues involving discussions of labor contracts, labor negotiations, consideration of interviews of candidates for employment, and the assignment, appointment, promotion, performance, demotion, or resignation of individuals, and D, contractual or other matters involving confidential or proprietary concerns or the investment of public funds where discussion in public would adversely affect the financial interest of WMATA, and F, safety and security matters where premature release would compromise public safety. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Dorsey. All those in favor? Any opposed? Thank you. The ayes have it, and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.